7:46 at WGCL. It is Friday morning, so we bring in Joe Smith live on the telephone. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Glass and Charles.
Hey, Joseph. Good morning to you.
How you doing, sir?
Great. That's a beautiful, nice sunrise coming today.
Yeah.
January is halfway over, Smitty. We're on the downside of that.
Got that right.
Well, the good news is it's half over, and the other side of that news means we are in just the guts of the winter season. So, obviously, this week we saw midweek boys basketball games, for goodness sakes. We're going to see basketball and everything else piling up, wrestling and swimming and gymnastics and all everything else. I always miss something. That's why we always have you on Friday morning. But to get things started, obviously, is the high school hoops on the airwaves tonight. Our second county battle of the season as South heads to Edgewood tonight, the Mustang Corral, the site, and two county teams getting together.
Well, J.R. Holmes' 12th-ranked South Panthers will be out after something that eluded them a year ago, and that's the Monroe County sweep. That's the intent tonight, is the purple and white. Stop off at the Mustang Corral in Ellisville, Dave Mahurin's Mustangs. Quick turnarounds for both as both teams played Tuesday night. Edgewood 7-4, lost his three-game winning streak and didn't have an answer for Cloverdale's 61% shooting, and tonight they bump sneak with one of the hottest teams around, South Central Indiana. The Panthers are firing on all cylinders, a seven-game winning streak into this one at 7:30. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock with both coaches. John Callahan joins me on the broadcast. South D, as you know, has been sealed tight during this streak, but I tell you, the perimeter defense, if it's not working tonight, and Edgewood's ability to shoot the three is, we could have us a ball game. Cole Craddock and Austin Renard, Braden Patton inside, will be keys for the red and black, and well, shot selection, rebounding, and Dave Mahurin commenting here yesterday, a good start to this ball game early against a quality opponent, all mandatory. Josh Martindale will probably try to lock down Renard tonight. Logan Kirby, a big problem inside for Edgewood. He's coming off a career 19-point game against Columbus East. And the backcourt duo of Tucker Blackwell and Johnny Jager will try to quiet Craddock and Edgewood's D. Well, they're going to have their hands full with that Panther duo. They're averaging 25 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals a game between them. That's Jager and Blackwell. The JV game goes at 6. Meanwhile, Martinsville, they have a 5-game winning streak. They moved to the McKinney court tonight on the north side, 8-2 against Andy Hodson's 10-3 Cougars. North lost in the final few seconds last year by 2, hoping to reverse things tonight and hoping to get Musa Jallo out of a 2-game shooting slump. He has scored only 11 games the last two, although Malik LaFoon had a nice 22-point effort as North restarted a winning streak, winning at Northview Saturday night last week after losing to South a week ago tonight. Both teams giving up just 50 a game, so expect a real tight dogfight tonight between Martinsville and Bloomington North. Big game in the WIC tonight as Owen Valley plays at Brown County. BC coming off a 2-week layoff, 3-0, along with Edgewood. Owen Valley's 2-1, and Edgewood has both of these teams yet to play later this season, including Owen Valley in our broadcast game a week from tonight. Bob Lovell in Indiana Sports Talk after our Edgewood South game tonight. Monroe County drew a big donut last night, 0-3 on the hardwood in girls action. North lost to Avon 58-33, 25% shooting, and the Cougs got outscored 40-18 in the second half. Indian Creek beat Edgewood 48-35. 38% shooting did in Gary Sims' Mustangs, although they got a career-high 18 from senior Hannah Pitchard. Indian Creek shot 51% for the game, and Bloomington South ran into a buzzsaw. 14th-ranked Mooresville beat them 51-30. 19% shooting, 22 turnovers, certainly not the recipe for an upset there, as the Panthers lose for a third consecutive game, dropping to 8-5. Tell you, Michael Gossett's still doing the job in the pool for Edgewood. He was in on 4 new school records last night. The 200 IM, the 500 free, also swam legs on the 2 and 400 free relays that set new school standards. Although Edgewood lost its duel to West Vigo, the boys, 93-88. Girls won, though, 112-49, as junior Katie Bryant was in on 4 event wins. The Mustang girls swept all 3 relays. Basketball tonight, Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock from the Corral, Edgewood and South.
All right, Joe, sounds good. And obviously South moving in the right direction. But as you mentioned, Edgewood can get hot from behind the stripe. So an interesting style confluence this evening as well. And as we get moving here on the weekend, the Hoosiers will be in action. We'll talk about them 8:45. It's the Injury Bowl over there in Champaign. Revonte Rice, he broke his left hand, Illinois' leading scorer. What was that, about 10 days ago? And then the Hoosiers obviously losing Hannah Perea. Interesting article in the paper today. Joe, I forgot all about Jeremiah April.
That's been easy, hasn't it?
He hasn't been on
the court. Yeah. Bless his heart. Oh.
Well,
the opportunities and doors are opening. But I think
He's available.
He is available.
Yeah.
And Ryan Burton, I guess, is doing the work at practice.
Boy, wasn't that great to watch?
That's a nice story.
Yeah, it was.
Very much.
Yeah. And the Hoosiers will, again, they've had more days now to figure out how to cope with the missing Perea, and we'll talk more about that coming up at 8:45. Last night in the Big Ten, Joe, Frank Kaminsky was back for Bucky Badger. Terran Pettaway had 17 of Nebraska's first 24. It was 28-24. I went and grabbed something to eat. I came back about 30 minutes later, and Wisconsin was up 19.
Yeah.
So he obviously stopped scoring, and Bucky Badger won by 20 or right around there. A comfortable victory last night in Madison, and Kaminsky's awfully good, and that was without Trayvon Jackson. He's going to miss 3 to 6 weeks in that as well. Kind of a quiet night in sports yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
There wasn't a whole lot going on. The Pacers weren't even in action last night, so we'll get ready. But, Joe, it won't be a quiet Sunday here on the airwaves.
It will be big.
Wow, it sure will be.
Down to the final four teams.
The winners head to the Super Bowl. Coverage of Westwood One's NFC and AFC championship games begin 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon right here on WGCL. We'll start in the Pacific Northwest, Green Bay and Seattle for the NFC title, followed by the Colts in New England. All four teams left have 13 wins. Interesting. Colts 13-5, New England 13-4. 6:40 looks to be the final. Remember, everything's Westwood One. They bought the rights to the championship games and the Super Bowl, which we will also carry. When is that, Joe? February 1st, Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday the 1st out in Glendale, Arizona.
Well, and you know what? In that weekend as well, Tiger Woods makes his season debut at TPC Scottsdale.
Scottsdale,
so they'll be a rollicking environment, to say the least. The last person that I can remember off the top of my head, not really, that I looked up yesterday, who had a press conference saying they were coming back to school. Cardale Jones got some grief for this yesterday. The Ohio State quarterback who made 3 starts, Big Ten championship game, Sugar Bowl semifinal, national championship, went 3-0, announced yesterday via press conference he's coming back to school.
Staying put.
I learned on SportsCenter last night the last player that people could remember to have a press conference saying they were coming back to school, Peyton Manning, his junior year at Tennessee. So remember, those of you making fun of Cardell saying, why do you have a press conference to come back? Old number 16 at Tennessee did the same thing. I thought that was a little bit of a funny story as well. Smitty, we'll get caught back up at 8:45.
All righty.
We'll get this fog out of here and outside, and we'll be ready to talk some Hoosier hoops. Look at the fog. Look at the fog out there.
Oh, I see. Okay, the tree line there campus.
I'm always foggy, and we'll talk about men's and women's basketball coming up, both on Sunday, both on the road. Good job, Smitty.
All righty.
Joe Smith time at WGCL. I was talking to Joe on the phone. I might as well bring him into the conversation on the air. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Julie?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine.
We should probably record this, too, shouldn't we, in case anybody wants to go back and listen to this nonsense. We've got it all figured out here on a Friday morning. And, Joe, a busy weekend out of town for the Hoosiers. We do have some action in town as well. But basketball, a 6-game streak here coming up, Joe. 4 of them on the road, so that's going to get the Hoosiers' attention.
Well, a week ago today, we talked about our Hoosier basketball teams bouncing back off of losses, and they did, each winning at home. Now can they take success to the road Sunday, both in action? Tom Crean's fellows play at 1 o'clock over in Champaign against Illinois, who won on the road at Northwestern Wednesday night. The Hoosiers looking to join Wisconsin at day's end on Sunday at the top of the Big Ten at 4-1 with a victory. This will be kind of similar to the Nebraska setting. If the Hoosiers can close out and and win this one on the road, beating the Illini and holding them off down the stretch. You know they'll make a run or two playing at home. And Illinois, quite frankly, has become a very difficult stop for the Hoosiers to play in and win. The Illini, like the Hoosiers, can cause separation with the three ball. The Hoosiers did damage with the three the other night, gunning in nine against Penn State, but it was the Hoosiers defending the three that certainly was one of the big storylines in that one, holding the Lions to 16%. And keep in mind, Illinois is 12th this week in the league, defending the three, only a couple of rungs higher than Penn State. Hoosiers would like to see Nick Zaitsev get going. He's been quiet offensively, and that said, balance will again be key Sunday without Hunter Mascara Perea. Indiana, in its 17 games, have had 10 of them fall in the win column when they've placed at least four players in double figures, and that happened the other night. Terry Morin's 12-4 Hoosier women are 2-3 in the Big Ten. They play 2 hours later, a 3 o'clock start at Minnesota, who had a big road win at Ohio State last night. The Gopher women are 4-1 and 15-2 overall. Indiana used balance, the bench, to bounce back against Wisconsin in a couple of Hoosiers. Jen Walder and Alexis Gassian had solid first starts of the year in points and rebounds. Alexis pulled in 16 boards in that one. And mentioning balance, the Hoosier women had five in double figures for a sixth time this season against Wisconsin as they won last Sunday. And that will be key along with a good start against the Gopher squad. Very difficult to play at Williams Arena. Meanwhile, in Loring's Hoosier tennis netters, the women will host the Indiana Winter Invite, kicking off at the Tennis Center and kicking off the 2015 schedule. No team scores will be kept, but the weekend will include both singles and doubles for the women, as action will be starting tomorrow. Ray Lou's swimmers and Drew Johansson's divers will be up in Madison. They have a two-day duel with the Badgers and Notre Dame. IU-Purdue indoor track at Gladstein, Saturday starting at 4, Sunday at 1. Over at UGym, Dwayne Goldman's wrestlers looking for their first Big Ten win. They host Northwestern. On the high school beat, Conference Indiana Championships on two fronts tomorrow. Girls swimming over at Columbus North for North and South, and wrestling for both city schools at Franklin Central. Mentioning other sport happenings in wrestling, Edgewood's quad duels tomorrow morning at 9. Edgewood also competes at the Indian Creek Relays Saturday morning, and in gymnastics, Bloomington North will host Jeffersonville at noon. Of course, high school hoops tonight, Chalk Talk at 7, which J.R. Holmes and Dave Mahurin south at Edgewood. Panthers looking for 8 in a row. Martinsville Edge at Bloomington North. That ought to be a good one tonight. The Cougs come right back, play Saturday night at Owen Valley. Edgewood will be hosting Greencastle. Don't forget Bob Lovell. Indiana Sports Talk after our game tonight. All of the scores and highlights from across the state.
Dave Mahurin and J.R. Holmes kick things off with Chalk Talk at 7, the tip at the Corral at 7:30 tonight, and then that takes us. We get a little break on Saturday, and then we're back Sunday. NFC Championship weekend, NFC and AFC. 2 o'clock pregame at Westwood One's radio coverage. Seattle Green Bay from the Pacific Northwest, followed by the Baked Bean Bowl there in the Foxborough. Colts and New England, both teams obviously met in the regular season. Joe, Colts got the last two times the Colts have faced the Patriots, they've been pounded by 20 points each time. The good news is the Patriots, every year they've been eliminated from the playoffs over the last, and there's been a lot of them here recently, they have lost to a team they've played to in the regular season. So we'll see what that brings, and we hope the Colts on Monday morning. We're talking about another trip to the Super Bowl and Andrew Luck's first one. Paul Casey, Webb Simpson atop the leaderboard of the Sony Open in Hawaii, 8-62. Jeff Overton, Indiana product, -3, right in the hunt. Second round action starts today. Have a wonderful broadcast, will you?
Yeah, we'll do. Planning on it.